Well, we're going to turn in our Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 22. You know, we've been studying major types in the Old Testament, and we have a good one today. As I mentioned to you when we studied Sarah and her type connection to Mary, the miraculous birth of their children, you know, it set up the study we're going to do today, and that is that their sons are alike, and Isaac typifies Christ. Before we get into this study, we're going to have a word of prayer. We always ask Doyle to do that because he's got the same list I have of the names of the preachers for whom we pray each time we gather at Sunday school. So, Brother Doyle, if you'll pray for us, then we'll begin.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in church this morning. We do lift up these two pastors this morning. Lift up James Lecce at Open Bay Bible Church in Elkhart, Indiana. And also Dan Snow in Leeburn, Kentucky, at Heritage Baptist Church. We do pray for these men this morning as they preach, and we do pray for their ministries, that you'd be with them and leading souls to Christ in their areas. Lord, we pray for strong families and men in their church to help them carry out those ministries. We do pray that you'd be at the services here today. We also lift up those in Sunday school classes, and I do pray for the teachers as they prepared lessons, and also the students that are in those classes. We do pray for the nursery workers as well today, and do thank you for them. We do pray that you would just be with Brother Weller now as he brings a lesson to us this morning, that you would help us to use it in our lives, Lord, to these comparisons that he's going to bring to us today. And we just pray and thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So today what we're going to do is we're going to study the similarities between Isaac and Jesus Christ. Now, the study that we have for you today is not intended to be a comprehensive study of all of their similarities. There are more similarities between Isaac and Jesus Christ than we're going to study today. If you're interested in studying all of the similarities between Isaac and Jesus Christ, years ago, we did a study in Genesis chapter 21, I think it was, verses 1 through 8, called The Birth of Isaac. And in that study, which is linked to this study, you'll see all of the similarities. What we're going to do today, we're going to see that Isaac typifies Christ, particularly when he was offered as a sacrifice in Genesis 22. We're going to concentrate the comparison between the two to primarily Genesis chapter 22, where Isaac is at least offered. God intervened. It didn't have to be sacrificed. And let's read the passage, and then we're going to go through and pull out these particulars. Genesis chapter 22, look at verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. He said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." So in this passage of Scripture, Isaac typifies Christ, obviously, in that situation where Jesus Christ is offered for us as a sacrifice, right? Notice some outstanding, some obvious similarities. Number one, Isaac, in verse 2, is called thine only son. Thine only son. Now, eventually in this lesson, we're going to refer to a passage in Hebrews chapter 11. So what I want you to do is mark where you are, because we're going to spend most of our time in Genesis 22. But go ahead and get Hebrews chapter 11. And when you do, mark it, because we're coming back. And I just want you to notice something about what God said regarding Isaac. In Genesis 22:2, he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac." But notice how the Holy Spirit describes the relationship between Abraham and Isaac, okay, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his," next three words, "only begotten son." Now, the truth of the matter is Abraham already had a son by Hagar named Ishmael, and after Sarah dies, he's going to marry Keturah, and they're going to have some more children. But it's interesting that the Lord let you know that this is the only begotten son of Abraham through Sarah. And that's true. But to call him the only begotten son is to link him inseparably from Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." You know, again, people question, which Bible should I use? Which Bible should I believe? King James Bible and very few others say only begotten son. Most of the others say only son. You get this Bible and you see how the Holy Spirit has worded the similarity between Isaac and Jesus Christ. He wants you to know something. Something you're seeing in Isaac is going to tell you a whole lot, and anybody else that's reading the Old Testament, about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac was the only begotten son of Abraham and Sarah. Jesus Christ, the only begotten son of God. People say, I don't like begats and begots. May I tell you something? Begot means something. If you're a woman that ever had a child, that means a lot to you. Because you can have a child by adoption. But begotten means that child was born. Okay? Number two, Isaac was offered upon one of the mountains of Moriah. Look again in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2. Isaac was offered upon one of the mountains of Moriah. Genesis 22 verse 2. "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." So in the land of Moriah, there are a few peaks, okay? Well, I'll tell you which one of those mountains I believe he was offered on. I believe in the New Testament that mountain is called Calvary. Look in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 at verse 33. We're going to do some cross-referencing, but that's how you learn. You put the scriptures together. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. Luke 23, 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. We have a song that we sing. At Calvary. Not to make light of these, but I'd like to instruct you, if you have an NIV or a New American Standard Version, Calvary is not in your Bible. At Calvary. We know it to be that because we see it recorded here in the Scripture. So they went to a place which is called Calvary. Where is Calvary in relation to the city wall and in relation to the temple? Does anybody here know? It's just outside the wall, just outside the gate. So the Temple Mount, and then not far away, but just outside of that gate, there's Mount Calvary, right? On your way back to Genesis 22, stop in 2 Chronicles chapter 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 3. On the way back, 2 Chronicles chapter 3, and we're going to see where Solomon built the temple. 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Mount Moriah is where the temple is built. And if you're standing on the platform of the temple, which is now houses the Dome of the Rock, and you look toward where Jesus Christ was crucified, you can see that rock called Golgotha, where Jesus Christ was crucified on the top of Mount Calvary, from the temple. Okay? He says, one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Well, we know there's the Mount of Olives, and there's the Temple Mount. There's Mount Calvary, right? There's several mountains in the vicinity of this place. Well, go back to Genesis chapter 22 and notice what Abraham calls the place. Genesis 22, verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the Mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So from the place where the Lord is at the temple, you can see the place where this sacrifice took place. I believe it's Calvary. That's an amazing thing, by the way. These places in the Bible are very significant. Moses goes to a mount called Horeb, or also Sinai, and receives the Ten Commandments and visually communes with the Lord. Later, Elijah goes to that place. Later, Jesus Christ is out in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It's going to be there. The same place. Those places are very significant to the Lord. So he says, when you do this, I want you to go there where my son is going to be sacrificed. This is a foreshadowing of what's coming to him. So number three then, not only is the only begotten son, not only were they both offered in the same place, Isaac was to be a burnt offering to God. Genesis chapter 22, look at verse 2. Isaac was to be a burnt offering to God. And he said, take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, verse 2, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. Look at verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both together. So there's the fire for that burnt offering. Well, Jesus Christ likewise was an offering and a sacrifice to God. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Right about now, you're probably saying, oh, back there in Vacation Bible School, I sure wish I'd have been paying more attention during Bible drill. Get these books faster. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, look at it, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. So both of them were an offering and a sacrifice, to be at least, to God, but not only that, a burnt sacrifice. We know that when Jesus, as I'm saying what I'm going to say, go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We know that when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, Acts chapter 2, we know that when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So his spirit went up to God. That's what happens according to Ecclesiastes. When we die, our spirit goes back to God who gave it. We know that his body went into the grave because Joseph of Arimathea had a tomb there, and he and Nicodemus buried Jesus Christ in that grave. His soul went to hell. Acts chapter 2, verse 27. This is a verse in Psalm 16 written by David. Because thou wilt not leave my soul where? In hell. According to the rich man who was in hell when he cried out to Abraham in Luke 16, what is in hell? Fire, a flame. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. Notice then in verse 31, 30 and 31, according to the end of verse 30, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Verse 31, he, that's David, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left where? Burnt sacrifice, burnt offering. A lot of similarities. Both the only begotten Son, both offered in the same place, both to be a burnt offering. In Genesis chapter 22, we notice something else about Isaac. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 6, look at this wording. You know, the beauty of this, again, is you just know the author that is writing Genesis 22, the Holy Spirit, is plugging in the details that you need to recognize that Jesus Christ is so closely connected with Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, and this whole thing, that he, in fact, is the promised seed of Abraham. Look at verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. So Isaac had to carry the wood, and Jesus Christ, at least part of the way, had to carry the cross. Look at John chapter 19. John chapter 19. You know, you're probably thinking right now, but wait a minute, I thought Simon the Cyrenian carried the cross. He did, but not the entire time. John chapter 19, look at verse 17, 16 for the context. Then delivered he him, that's Pilate, delivered Jesus therefore unto them to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away. Verse 17, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Golgotha is on Mount Calvary. It's the place where Jesus Christ was crucified. He bore his cross, and then he was so beaten, really, so scourged, and weakened by that night in Gethsemane and by that beating that he got from Herod's soldiers and from Pilate's soldiers. He could only carry it a certain distance, and then Simon the Cyrenian, you know, picked it up from there. You see that in Luke 23, 26. So both of them had to bear the wood of the offering. Also in Genesis chapter 22, verse 6, we see something else where they are similar. Genesis chapter 22, verse 6. The Bible says, again, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, picture of Jesus carrying the cross. He took the fire in his hand and a what? A knife. So in this sacrifice, Isaac was not going to be burned alive like another, like the burnt offerings, right, that you read about in the Bible. He was going to be slain with a knife and then offered. It had this gone all the way through. Jesus Christ, John chapter 19, verse 34, got the knife, right? He was pierced with a sword. Now, this is very interesting, and we could detour here for just a moment and do some cross-referencing, but I'll remind you of something you're probably already aware of. When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, that day, those bodies on the cross, that's Jesus' body and the two thieves that were crucified with him, had to be buried before sunset. Because the next day was the Sabbath, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The next day wasn't Saturday. People all talk about Good Friday. Get that out of your mind. If you get your Bible and you study 3 days and three nights, and you know when he rises from the dead, you realize he's actually crucified on Wednesday. We have a lot of things that are taught by church tradition. And the Sabbath that follows is not Saturday. Thursday is not Saturday. It is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread that follows the Passover. Those bodies have to be in the tomb by 6 o'clock p.m., the beginning of Thursday for a Jew. All right, well, typically, when somebody's hanging on the cross, they could live on the cross for days. So what does Pilate command? They go over and they break the legs of the two thieves. Why? When you're hanging on a cross, in order to get a breath, you have to raise yourself up by your feet in order for the diaphragm to be able to expand enough, to work enough for you to get a lung full of air or some air. If you break the legs, you can't lift yourself up. If you can't lift yourself up, you can't breathe, you die. Well, they didn't break the legs of Jesus Christ, just like they didn't break the legs of the burnt sacrifice in the Old Testament. It said his legs won't be broken, but he'll be pierced. That's the prophecy. Psalm 22 and Zechariah chapter 12, he's going to be pierced. And they do. The soldiers come by, and when they see that he's already dead, it just shows you how sin had done its horrible work in the life of Jesus Christ and all that he had already endured leading up to it. So they pierced him in the side. Isaac has a knife. Jesus has a spear. And that's how he died. That's how they proved that he was dead. All right, there's something else. Isaac was to be offered as a lamb. Verse 7. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And he didn't say, You're the lamb. He said in verse 8, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Well, Isaac was to be offered as a lamb. He was the sacrifice, correct? And Jesus Christ, John the Baptist said about him, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, if you're trying to keep up with the notes, you know that you can go to the website midday tomorrow, and the notes for this study, right, these that I have right here will be posted, and you can get the cross-references and everything as well. So I want you to try to keep up, but you can always get the notes off the Sunday School website. So 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a what? A lamb without blemish and without spot. He's a lamb, a precious blood of Christ as of a lamb. So look at all the similarities. Both begotten sons, only begotten sons, both offered in the same place at Mount Calvary, both burnt offerings, or to be a burnt offering, both had to carry the wood, both either to be slain or slain with that knife or spear, both offered as a lamb. See all those similarities? Those are not accidental. Those are intentional. Now there is a trial going on in Abraham to see if he will offer his son. You may be asking yourself the question, why is that? But there is that trial. But this trial that's set up is going to lay down a Old Testament type of a New Testament doctrine in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Once again, as we've said, a Jew reading the Old Testament could easily turn then to the New Testament and go, wow. Okay, we can take a little quick detour on this. Kim, you want to check that thermostat? Just in case. I see a couple of fanning going on here. Feel a little of that. Just check both of them. Make sure. I don't know where they are. Just check them. Thank you. All right. And then what we want to do is this. No doubt Isaac typifies Jesus Christ. You see that? The foreshadowing of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 22 is much greater even than what you have just seen. You see those, what are that, six or eight things we just looked at where there's all those similarities? You look at those and you go, wow, that's pretty interesting. It's more interesting even than that. Notice in Genesis 22:5, much more interesting than that. All those similarities are really good, but watch this. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, Abraham said to the two young men, Isaac is going and two young men with him. That's kind of interesting because that's like Jesus Christ and two thieves crucified with him, okay? Abraham said to his two young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now notice, like Miss Irene might say, you got to pay attention to English. I and the lad are the subject of will go yonder. Do you see that? I and the lad are the subject and will worship. I and the lad are the subject of and will come again to you. He didn't change and say, and I will come again to you. He told those two boys when he got ready to go up there, we're going up and we're coming down. Abraham knew. He understood something that's not readily apparent when you read this. He knew Isaac was coming back down that mountain with him. He knew that. He's got the knife, he's got the wood, he's got the fire, he's doing everything God told him to do, but he doesn't know how it's going to work out, but he does know it is going to work out. God was going, in order to fulfill his promise that your seed shall multiply as the stars of heaven, Isaac was going to have to live long enough to marry and have children. He knew that. And Isaac wasn't married, and he didn't have any children yet. God was going to do one of two things on that mountain. And Abraham knew it, and they're both contained in the Bible. God was either going to provide a substitute so that Isaac would not have to be slain. That's what happened. Or God was going to allow him to be slain and he was going to raise him from the dead. Those are the two options. Abraham did not know which one God would do, but he had enough faith in God to know God was going to do something. That boy's coming down with me. You see, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 7, when Isaac asked, "Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" in verse 8, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." He didn't say, "God will provide a lamb for himself," i.e., he's going to use an animal. He said, "He's going to provide himself." And that's exactly what he did. Jesus Christ, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, is God manifest in the flesh. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And he says, "Son, don't worry about it. God himself." You talk about we just struggle to get a prayer up and then hopefully get it answered. Here's Abraham communing with God. He has none of what you and I have in a Bible. And he's like, "I know how this is going to work out. God's going to provide himself a lamb." Wow, and he is. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." God himself is the substitute. And I thank God for that. Without spot, without blemish, perfect Lamb of God. God said, "I will take that as a perfect substitute for you." Praise God. Now, keep your finger, of course, in Genesis 22. We're coming back. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Jesus Christ knows, God knows what's going on in Abraham's mind when he gives that answer to Isaac. When he says God shall provide himself a lamb, he knows what Abraham is thinking. God's going to be the sacrifice. When Jesus Christ in John chapter 8 is into a discourse with the Pharisees, they keep wanting to make it out like you're not like us because you were born of fornication, which he wasn't. It was a miraculous conception with Mary. He's trying to make it out like that. But we're of our father Abraham. And he's like, guys, if you were of your father Abraham, you wouldn't be acting like this. Verse 56 is the one we want. Look at this, 55. Jesus said, "Yet you have not known him, that is my Father, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying." Verse 56, I love this. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Been around here a lot longer than you think I have. "Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." When that thing's taking place up there, that whole deal with Isaac, he sees what God's fixing to do. And he rejoiced in it. Can you imagine? That would have been a long-faced day going up there thinking you have to kill your son. And he's up there smiling thinking, man, what God's going to do? This is an amazing thing here. It's just wow. Now, it turns out, back in Genesis 22, that God does have a substitute ready for this occasion on that mountain. Verse 13, Abraham, Genesis 22:13, lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Kind of interesting, doesn't a thicket have thorns on it, probably? Jesus Christ is crowned with thorns. I mean, there are other types in here we didn't even explore, like thine only Son, whom thou lovest. God loves the Son. You know, there are lots of things in here, but we get to this point. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering. Look at that. In the stead of his Son. That's exactly how Jesus Christ was offered for us. Amazing. But that's not all. Because as I said, Abraham knew God was going to do one of two things. He was either going to provide a substitute, which he did, or he was going to raise Isaac from the dead. And you're like, well, come on, Welder. Where do you get that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Back where we were, remember? I said, keep a marker there because we're coming back. Yeah, you were looking at the hour thinking, he forgot he was going to come back. No, I didn't. Hebrews chapter 11. The great passages of the faith of the Old Testament patriarchs. All right, watch. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, again. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, so that temptation was not a temptation like he was tempted to do evil, it was a trial. When he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten Son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So Isaac's going to have to marry and have children, which he hadn't done by this time. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He knew it. He knew it. God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. This is the foreshadowing of the resurrection of Jesus Christ following his substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. He had faith in God. I don't know which way you're going to work it out. I just know this, you're going to work it out. Because when God promises something, he does it. God does not lie. You know, Abraham knew when he and Isaac ascended that mountain, they were coming back down the mountain together. He knew it. And now you've gone through Genesis 22 and checked these cross references. As they say, there's more than meets the eye. When you see how Isaac typifies Christ. Phenomenal, phenomenal passage of Scripture here. So when we've gone through these passages here in the Old Testament, looking at these types, it's amazing how their mothers are alike, Sarah, right, and Mary, and how the boys are alike, Isaac and the Lord Jesus Christ, in more particulars than you might have guessed until you checked the cross-references of Scripture. Thank God for a fabulous book. Amen. Father, we're very thankful today to be able to study your words. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to pay attention when we read. Be faithful stewards of the words of God. Trust you to teach us the things you've contained in the Scripture that are so powerful in the revelation. We ask you to help us now to enjoy good fellowship while we wait for the preaching. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.